With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The story of all stories, it feels like, in college football. Like, I have a column up at commercialappeal.com right now about this, looking at it from Memphis's perspective, this potentially seismic shift that would occur if Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC. And we'll get into that aspect of it here in a little bit. But the way I equated it, Jeffrey, I mean, this is kind of like a nuclear bomb for college sports, because that's how big, even though Texas hasn't been as successful in football the last, you know, whatever, they've underachieved in large part, except for a couple of those years when Mack Brown really had it rolling. They've underachieved for the last 25 years or so. They are still a ginormous brand in college sports, and Oklahoma has been one of the four most successful college football programs during the college football playoff era, and itself has a just an enormous amount of tradition behind it, especially as a college football school. Those two leaving, and essentially, in my mind, murdering the Big 12 in doing so.
I mean,
or at least attempted murder. They may not kill it, but, like, you know, the Big 12 is going to be in like a wheelchair.
I would equate to use your nuclear bomb metaphor. I would equate this to, because at first I kind of thought there was a possibility this could be a negotiation tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I've talked to people and the more that I've thought about it, I think this is exactly what it is. And this is when we told Japan, hey, you got 48 hours to cease fire or deal with it. And of course, at the time, they didn't know what it was. And it seems like very much this was the warning.
Well, and here's the reality. Today at 5 o'clock, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports is reporting this. The Big 12, the ADs of the Big 12 are going to get together for a teleconference or some sort of get meeting of some kind to discuss this report. I don't think they're doing that if it's not real.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like, this is, and this could be the moment, you know, my guess is what will happen is someone on that call is going to confront the Texas AD, confront the Oklahoma AD, like, hey, what's going on here? And they will get the same non-denial denials that they issued publicly. It'll just be kind of awkward because they're not, I suspect they are not ready, Texas and Oklahoma, yet to officially declare to the Big 12, we're exploring our options. They're not going to say we're not exploring our options.
I think they're pretty close to, I think they can't technically say, I agree with you. I think there'll be a denial, whatever. It'll be like a non-denial denial.
They'll push
or whatever.
It down the road.
Whatever.
They'll kick the can down the road, so to speak.
But according to most reports, This is not only happening, this is happening perhaps next week.
Well, and what's become clear is that this was not leaked by Texas or Oklahoma or by the SEC as a conference. It seems like the prime candidate, especially now in retrospect, given the
well, I said this on the show yesterday. I found it very odd that Ross Bjork had a statement ready to go.
Feels like Texas A&M is a prime suspect, especially because their reporter Brent Zwerneman, who broke this story for the Houston Chronicle.
Yes.
He's the Texas A&M beat writer, longtime A&M beat writer for the Houston Chronicle.
And also, the fact that it was the Houston Chronicle, To me, that implies that it was A&M, because if it was more of a Texas side of things, you're probably going Austin Statesman
like
or Dallas, Dallas
or,
Morning
yeah.
News.
Yeah, and then it could have been the Big 12, too, but it felt like the Big 12 might have been caught off guard by this, because you had Bowlesby's comments a couple days ago that have resurfaced, where he was asked about conference expansion at Big 12 Media Days last week, and his statement was kind of like, well, you know, like TV market with streaming and everything, I feel like conference realignment's, you know, kind of not done, but really on the back burner these days.
I think it's obvious at this point, and the fact that they called a meeting that wasn't scheduled, I think it's obvious at this point they were caught off guard. All right, so here's a couple of things I want to look at, because I think this is what's, I think these are the central questions. So the first question is, as we've just been discussing, is this real? The argument against this being real, I think, is fairly simple. Mm-hmm. The argument against it would be, this is a leverage play by Oklahoma and Texas to try and get a bigger piece of the pie from the Big 12. Because they are now, the Big 12, can we all agree, because of this story breaking, the Big 12 is very much playing defense.
Oh, yeah.
So
this is like one of those drives at the end of a game where you're just bleeding yards. Or no, you know what this is? This isn't a drive where a team's coming back. This is like Texas and Oklahoma are running the same play over and over again, and you can't stop
it. I was literally about to say, this is the classic, they have just run inside zone for 8 yards a pop, and you can't do it. Like, you've tried loading the box, you can't stop it. Like, it is just, they're just marching it and running it down your throat. The argument would be is, instead of getting the 10% equal share that everyone gets of the Big 12 revenue. So the way the Big 12 does it to appease Texas, the last time this happened because of the Longhorn Network, the Big 12 came up with all conference revenue gets divided evenly. Your tier three rights, which are your secondary sports, it used to be your like one football game a year, some of your basketball games, all that, you can sell that on your own and keep it. So I think Texas gets something like $12 million a year for the Longhorn Network, and then Oklahoma gets $7 million. The rest, everybody gets the exact same amount of money, 10% of whatever the Big 12 earns. There's this play that instead of getting 10% and them saying, listen, this threat's real, we can go to the SEC, let's do business, you know, how about instead of 10%, we get 12, 13%, whatever it is, and we'll stay in the Big 12. So that would be this is more of a threat than it is a reality. Mm-hmm. Do you buy that at all?
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. From the only reason this doesn't make sense for Texas and Oklahoma is that I do think it makes it a little bit harder to make the college football playoff. That is the only thing to me that doesn't make sense with this. And then I guess the other part, the other qualifier would be, how does this affect the Longhorn Network for Texas?
So,
like, will that get paid out?
So this
will they get the money from that still? Or is that just a concession they're going to make as part of this? Because, you know, we'll lose $100 million up front, but we'll gain it back in a few years by joining this, you know, monster of an SEC.
So the way that it will work out is,
we don't know yet.
Well, no, I'm saying the way that it would work out is Texas has two options if they want to leave. Option number one, the SEC. Option number two, the ACC. Mm-hmm. Why are those the only two options? Those are the only two leagues that will have exclusive rights with ESPN. And ESPN is a rights holder of the Longhorn Network. They technically mm-hmm. own it with Texas. I think they technically own it and they pay Texas. I think that's how it works. Mm-hmm. But because of that setup, those are their only two options, because for them to leave, they're going to have to go to a network. They're going to have to go to a league that has a deal with ESPN, because the biggest secret that's not really a secret, I hope everybody's sitting down for this, the Longhorn Network is a financial disaster. It's one of the biggest launches ESPN's ever had that's actually been like a real failure. Like, for everyone that wants to do about ESPN's failures, they've had some like shows or whatever talent that they've put money behind and those haven't worked. This thing was designed to be what the SEC network became, but in the state of Texas, and it has not even been that. So it's been a disaster. So the reason why you need the ESPN angle is Texas is going to kind of fold their rights into the TV deal, and it's kind of like your initiation fee, if you will, to buy in.
Well, what I'm interested in.
And so they're going to let it go. The Longhorn Network's going to cease to exist.
So I think we both agree. This is, you know, whether it happens or not, you know, there's lots of things that could end up causing this, derail this, you know, with anything. Lawyers are going to get involved, and legislators are going to get involved. And maybe that slows it down or causes it not to happen. But my gut tells me it is going to happen.
So I actually will push back on that a little bit. I think this is either going to be one of two things. This is going to happen really quickly, or it's not going to happen at all. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the timeline, I've been told by someone that I trust Texas could be in Texas and Oklahoma could be in the SEC as of 2023, because all of this started. And the other reason why I believe that this is real, number one, it was no surprise to me that Oklahoma had reached out, because I never got to the point where I could write it, but I believe in my heart of hearts that they have reached out to the SEC multiple times, because they had real buyer's remorse when they ended up making the decision to stay in the Big 12. The last real time we had realignment. Texas reached the conclusion that they are, and the reason why I believe it, when Texas, along with the Big 12, hired a television consultant to approach their networks, their TV networks, which are Fox and ESPN, about, hey, if you want to talk about an extension, we want to talk, which usually translates to this. We'll take, if you give us a long-term agreement, like what the ACC's TV agreement, when they extended,
which has been is turning into a disaster for them.
Correct. But remember, they made the agreement and they took the security, the long-term security and stability. They took rather than.
And it's going to end up screwing the league, because
the ACC network is not.
They're tied in for 15 years with it, the same number they're getting now.
And the Big Ten and the SEC are about. The Big Ten, I think they've already agreed to theirs. And then the SEC has reportedly agreed to theirs, their new TV deal. But as we've seen, the negotiation framework might change now. But when Texas and the television consultant approached the TV networks, they said, we're good. And so then you have this other element with Texas, and that quote unquote little brother leaves. And while I think in terms of brand, Texas A&M still isn't what Texas is, just in terms of whether or not, like, you look at the success level, and it's no question A&M has been more successful since leaving and going to the SEC than Texas has been during this stretch. But Texas still has the bigger brand. But because they watch little brother leave and, you know, go off and have success, I think it was a sobering realization that this is no longer about making sure that we run the house. This is about making sure we have a seat at the table, because they also have been seeing what we're talking about. The Big Ten and the SEC, their financial advantage it's already huge, but it's about to get even bigger.
Well, and what I'm interested in, though, is if this happens, what are the corresponding moves? Because it would seem if this does happen, we will speed towards the super conference era. Now, but my question is, does that necessarily mean all these other leagues are going to try to get to 16? Is the Big 12 going to survive? You know, and I have this column up at commercialappeal.com, because all of this, as we go down the ladder, if you will, these types of ramifications then ultimately affect schools like Memphis. You know, it's
an ecosystem.
Yes. And so are there going to be four super leagues? You know, will the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 all feel compelled to, you know, whether it's picking the scraps of the Big 12 up or adding some AAC teams, will they feel compelled to do that?
Sure.
Or will they just stand pat? Because, like, the more and more you think about it, especially in this era of, as you mentioned, like, I mean, maybe the ACC, because they have such a terrible, you know, they have this contract that's really hamstringing them, maybe adding someone makes sense because they can then have impetus to renegotiate that deal.
But like, or maybe they add someone that's outside of their current footprint, mm-hmm. and that puts more pressure on more carriage providers to add. Because as you've pointed out,
they still don't even have Comcast and Xfinity. It's like a big deal in ACC country. There's a lot of games on ACC Network. Like, I get ACC Network here, but a lot of people in, like, the Mid-Atlantic, for instance, Virginia, don't get the ACC Network still.
And as you've pointed out, one of the big reasons why you'll see, like, the Virginia Tech game on ACC Network
is to try and pressure
those companies to start.
But, like, I don't know how much value, for instance, like Kansas or West Virginia really provide the ACC. Same with the Big Ten. And, you know, and even the Pac-12. I mean, like, I'm sure some of those Big 12 schools will go to those leagues, but my gut tells me it's not. Like, I don't think just because the SEC goes to 16, everyone else is going to go to 16.
I tend to agree with you. Here's what I think the answer to that question is going to be. What is driving this realignment more than the last realignment was very simply. It was driven by how can we add television footprints to our league to sell our new networks or sell our new TV deals? Well, as time has gone on, and especially as cord cutting has become a thing and whatnot, what the television networks have realized is, hey, just because Rutgers is in New York City doesn't mean if you put Rutgers on Fox, all of a sudden you're popping a number.
Yeah.
And what they've recognized is in college football, what matters is the brands.
Mm-hmm.
And in the
and
end,
the only two real brands in the Big 12 are Texas and Oklahoma.
Correct.
I mean, like, you know,
I mean, Kansas basketball to an extent.
Kansas basketball has a brand.
But here's the reality, and this is not me. This is not me trying to be poke my chest out, football guy versus basketball. But it is very clear when you look at the metrics that matter, revenue and television ratings. College football is the second biggest sport in the country. It's not even close. And college basketball, it's shrinking in its importance. Doesn't mean it can't matter to you, but in terms of if I'm ESPN, I am much more concerned with I want to get better games on Saturdays in the fall than I'm worried about whether or not Kansas and Wisconsin can play twice per year.
To your point, look at the AAC. The AAC has separated itself as a league, not because of basketball.
Exactly.
Basketball is kind of a mess. It's because the football's been better than people expected.
No, you can make a real, in my opinion, you can make a real case based on the last 2 years of football. If you go top to bottom, the AAC is every bit as competitive as the Big 12 is.
And that's what's going to be interesting to me as we look at the ripple effects of all of this as they go down to Memphis. Because my question is, who ends up coming out on top in this, the AAC or the Big 12? Because there is, you know, there's different scenarios at play here. The Big 12 could completely dissolve because of this, and their teams could spread out. And that would be, I think, personally, the best scenario for Memphis in all of this. Because I just don't think Memphis, if we go to four super conferences, just don't think Memphis is going to be in one of those four conferences. They're not. There's too many other brands and teams ahead of them in the pecking order.
I completely agree with you. I would also like to add this caveat.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're starting to see, when people bring up this four super conferences,
mm-hmm.
let's get one thing straight.
Mm-hmm.
At best, there are two super conferences, and you can make the argument.
But they got to include the West Coast.
Perhaps, but college football seems to not be in general.
Yeah, I guess one conference could. I mean, we could go to a place where there's two 32-team conferences, and USC just joins one of them, and Oregon joins another. You know, like the big brands on the West Coast join it.
We're kind of joking,
mm-hmm.
but not really. I don't think I'm saying I would never think that would happen because at a certain point you got to start like filling out the schedule and getting some W's.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not act as if that's like what we're seeing this week in the last week. The NCAA is largely saying, hey, man, we don't...
Figure it out yourselves.
Yeah, figure it out yourselves. And so now what we're seeing is...
They're taking their destiny into their own hands.
Not really. I'd say ESPN is replacing them in terms of telling them what to do. Well, and at least ESPN, like, they're not... ESPN's not concerned with making sure... ESPN, at the end of the day, is concerned with them and making sure they have as big a revenue as possible. So therefore... They're not as concerned with what Binghamton does as they are with what happens to Texas. Like, in the end, and that could be mutually beneficial for those two parties, but that doesn't mean it's going to be beneficial for anyone outside of those parties.
I believe in New York, it's Binghamton.
Sorry, beg your pardon.
Here in Memphis, it's Binghamton.
Sorry, Binghamton.
But,
try saying Wooddale again.
Wooddale?
Yeah.
Wooddale.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting, I think, from Memphis's perspective, though, is I know there's this thought that, oh, well, this could be great in the sense that the AAC and the remnants of the Big 12 could combine in a way. And you know what? Playing Kansas State and Texas Tech and Baylor, I mean, frankly, it sounds a little better than playing ECU or Tulane or whatever.
For sure.
And say, you know, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, SMU comes along with you, and you know, that's a nice conference.
You could give yourself some geographical balance, too, and, like, you could really start doing, like, West versus East, and, like, that could kind of play out.
And I do think it would be a bet that would be a better league than the current AAC. I do not think that they will be included as a super conference, even with those remnants of the Big 12.
Yeah, I think,
like, it's not like they're going to get a bigger piece of the pie by combining like that.
I think,
or a huge piece of the pie, I should say. They'll get a bigger piece of the pie.
I would say the example that I would use is, remember when the Big East, before Vatek and Miami left, mm-hmm. they had a part of the BCS. They had they had an invite. Mm-hmm. Well, then when they left, and then
Then Syracuse, BC left,
right,
and Pitt left.
Correct. All those schools leave. This is not going to be a situation where if you take over the name Big 12 or like you're not going to just get.
No, they're going to cut them out.
Exactly.
They're going to cut them out. But so in my mind, I think the best scenario for Memphis here, it's totally different than 5 years ago when they're trying to get into the Big 12, where you're trying to elevate your status. To me, Memphis's goal in all of this is just to make sure you're not left behind. Like, you need to stick with teams, the schools like UCF and Houston and Cincinnati. And I think the best way for Memphis in this scenario is their hope should be the Big 12 completely dissolves because of this. This is, again, if Texas and Oklahoma leave to the SEC. That because of that, the Big 12 just dissolves. There's no more Big 12. And then you've got the American able to kind of pick at, you know, and some, you know, teams like, I'm guessing, like Oklahoma State, a couple of those Big 12 schools, West Virginia, will get to a, you know, whatever, the Big 10 or the ACC or the Pac-12.
Not so sure about West Virginia from conversations I've had. I think once upon a time that was thought.
Well, that'd be great. West Virginia can join Memphis's conference,
though. For sure.
Like, that'd be like, but I think that's the best scenario. The AAC kind of emerges once again, if you will, as the best non-power conference, if you will. And instead of being number six, it's number five. And Memphis is in it with these like-minded schools that have been, you know, been good football schools the last five, 6 years, as well as, you know, maybe Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor, whoever, Iowa State, whoever else from the Big 12 that you can get. And that, to me, one, it's not the ideal scenario for Memphis. The ideal scenario, you'd want them with the haves, if you will.
For sure.
But it's just not realistic. And this would be a scenario where, at the very least, you're probably going to get a little more money from TV because it would be a better league, and you'd have better games.
And that's kind of the second part of what is driving this. In the end, like, the first thing that's driving this is ESPN is going to these leagues and saying, if we're going to fork over this kind of change to you, the amount of rights money that they're looking at, we're not putting on Alabama and UT Chattanooga. Like, we want not just one game per week. We want a menu for the weekend. And we're going to dominate the weekend, and we're all going to make money, and we're all going to be happy.
And
so we want better brands. We want Texas playing Georgia. We want Texas playing
Auburn, even.
Auburn. Yeah. Or Texas playing Tennessee. Like, we want that. We want Oklahoma playing LSU. We want Oklahoma playing Alabama. We want Oklahoma playing Florida. Maybe Mullen doesn't want that after the bowl game. But you see what I'm saying? Like, that's what they want. And if you look at it from ESPN's perspective, what they're great at, in my opinion, in broadcasting is when they go to a big college football game, the setting of the scene. Forget game day. I'm just talking about, like, when they do the big Saturday night game and you watch how they do the pregame rush, everything. Like, and that makes people want to watch that. And so that's what they want. But then the other aspect of this is you're coming out of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you lost a ton of in-person revenue, live revenue, mm-hmm. from ticket sales to
live event revenue.
Exactly. Well, you also created a situation where people got to sit at home and watch their team. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them did this move.
I can tailgate in the driveway.
Man, I can sleep in my bed tonight, and I don't have to spend all day Sunday driving back, and then having that depressing drive. Even if we win, it's like, oh, I got work the next day, and it's like that drive's just always depressing. We've got to create a situation that makes them want to buy tickets again. All of a sudden, when you start making the games better, people are more adept to want to go. They want to go watch their team in a big game, and they want to be there. They want to be a part of it, and then it helps that aspect of the equation.
When you just don't want to be, like the last round, it was schools like Southern Miss and Marshall and UAB.
Well, Marshall's mistake was they bet on the CUSA versus the MAC. Like, long-term thinking, they would have been better to stay in the MAC.
But just in general, yes, they got left behind in the last round. Like, Memphis, even as bad as the football program was 10 years ago, they did not end up in the situation UAB did where...
Let's take a look at it. One of the guys that spoke today, Brian Harsin. Remember, remember a couple of months ago or a few months ago when the emails got released?
Yeah.
And Boise, he's screaming... Boise, feel like Boise's getting left behind.
Yeah. Like, and Memphis... over the last decade, didn't just get left behind, they have elevated their stock.
Yes.
Like I know it's a sore spot that 5 years ago, the Big 12 said there were 11 schools, essentially, they found more desirable than Memphis.
One of which was Tulane, the other was Rice.
Rice, I believe. There were some other doozies on there that I frankly don't agree with, but that's what the Big 12 thought.
Correct.
But even just from 5 years ago, the academic standing of the university is better, the facilities have been upgraded, and... back then, it was just like, oh, well, the football program finally got it turned around. Now they're one of the best group of five team programs in the country. They've had sustained success now for 5-6 years, including going to a New Year's Six Bowl.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!